Hey, good morning, Red Chapel. Wherever you're watching us from today, we want to say welcome. Once again, I especially want to say extend a really warm welcome to those of you that may be watching us for the first time, or maybe you just joined our Red Chapel community recently during this stay-at-home order. We want to extend a special welcome to you. You are just as much of a part of our family as those of us that meet in person. So we have thoroughly enjoyed seeing how many people have been connecting to us online. And so we wanted to say welcome to the family. In fact, if you are watching for the first time, or maybe you've been watching, but we haven't had a chance to personally connect with you, would you do me a favor real fast, and would you just text that number there on your screen? Give us the opportunity to really welcome you into the family. You picked a great week, by the way, if you're joining us for the first time. We're in the middle of a series on mercy. And what's interesting about this is we have never, in the history of our church, done a series centered just around the mercy of God. So I've been extremely excited and passionate about just diving into how far-reaching, how powerful God's mercy is to us in a time of need. So I want to jump right in this morning. We have this in our culture. We have a saying, and it's just simply, "Lord, have mercy." Maybe you've said that before, or no doubt you've probably heard somebody say that. And we typically say that, or something really similar to that, when something shocks us, right? Or when we're in awe of something. Or maybe you've used that when you were up against something really difficult in your life. There's all kinds of ways and reasons why you've said it, but probably at some point in your life you've said it or you've heard somebody say it. I don't know if any of you are fans of Big Mama's House, Martin Lawrence. I'm a big fan. If you are, don't be afraid to raise your hand. Nobody's looking, maybe just you and your family. So you can be bold and just say, yeah, I'm a big fan of Big Mama's House. But one of the scenes that I was reminded of this week was when Martin Lawrence, he accidentally gets stuck in the bathroom with Big Mama. And she happens to be sitting on the toilet, and she says, "Have mercy, Lord. The stewed prunes is going right straight through me." I don't know about you, but I got such a kick out of that scene. I was reminded of that. And it's just one of the ways that, once again, in culture that we'll use this phrase, right? Shawn Mendes has a song out. It's called Mercy. And in it, he's singing to his significant other, and he's saying, "Please have mercy on me. Take it easy on my heart. Even though you don't mean to hurt me, you keep tearing me apart." So even in relationships, some of you that are single and that are out there and you're watching this morning or whenever you're watching our broadcast, maybe you've said this to your significant other, that person that maybe crushed your heart. Ladies, if you got a man like that in your life right now, would you do me a favor and please show that man some mercy? And so we've used it in different types of contexts, right? During the quarantine, if you're married, maybe you recently got your credit card statement and you see what your husband or your wife has spent on Amazon this month with all this time sitting around and looking at all the amazing things you've always wanted online. When you got that credit card statement, you probably said to your spouse, "Lord, have mercy," right? Or maybe you've been into your kids' bedrooms lately and you've seen what a mess. It's amazing how much of a mess kids can make when they are home all day, right? Can I get a witness from some of you parents? And maybe you walked in and you've seen the mess in their room and you said, "Lord, have mercy." Like, how could you do this in such a short period of time? Here's why I'm sharing all this is I want you to understand, last week we talked about how that God's mercy is primarily for the forgiveness of our sins. But what I want to share with you this week is that mercy is so much more, so much far-reaching than just the forgiveness of our sins. I remember, this is probably, 10 or 12 years ago. She was probably 3 or 4 years old, and we were youth pastors at the time at a church in San Bernardino. And one night, we had a lot of the young people over at our house. I don't remember what we were doing exactly, but a bunch of kids over, and there was all kinds of things happening. And my daughter, she was 3 or 4 years old at the time, and she's having fun playing. And on our fireplace on the ledge, we had a small ledge on the front of our fireplace, and we had family pictures there, and they were encased in these picture frames, glass picture frames. And she was playing and she tripped on that little ledge of the fireplace and she fell back. And I'll never forget, in fact, it's coming back to me very, very vividly right now, because I'll never forget people screaming. And as I ran over to see Megan, she had a piece of glass that was stuck in her back, and it had slid down her back before it had stuck, and blood was literally gushing out of her back. And I'm freaking out. And the first thing that I could think of was, oh, Jesus, have mercy, right? And so it's not just like in funny times that we say this, like I mentioned earlier, relationships. Like there's all kinds of different times in our lives, some of them like desperate times, like in that moment where we're calling out for God's mercy. And so we say this term, Lord have mercy, a lot in regular life. And often it might be in a joking, lighthearted way, just to express our dismay. But the fact is, our need for God's mercy is really serious, that we need God's mercy. And the way to obtain God's mercy, it's really simple. It's just simply to ask for it, to ask for it. And there's a story in the Bible that I think communicates this really well in the text this morning that we're going to look at. And we're going to learn how to cry out, Lord, have mercy, like for real. And to receive the mercy of God that we need. And so in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 says, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, they're leaving a city, there's a blind man. And in fact, the scripture even mentions his name. His name is Bartimaeus. And he's sitting by the roadside, he's begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he begins to shout. And he's shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we have to believe that up until this point, Bartimaeus has probably never met Jesus, but word of Jesus has been spreading. It's come to the town where he's at. Word has reached him that Jesus has the ability to work miracles in people's life. And so when he hears, he's unable to see, when he hears that Jesus is passing by, immediately he begins to scream out, Jesus, Son of David, and here it is again, have mercy on me. And many of the people that were around him, they went as far as they began to rebuke him. And they tell him to be quiet. But that just invigorates him, and he begins to shout all the more. Once again, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. He stops what he's doing. He stops where he's going. And he looks at Bartimaeus and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. This is a man that's desperate. He's blind. And so he gives Jesus his answer. And Jesus just simply says, go. Your faith has healed you. And immediately, Bartimaeus receives his sight and he begins to follow Jesus along the road. And I chose this text this morning because I believe Bartimaeus here, he gives us an example of how to say, this is so simple, how to get God's attention by simply saying, Lord, have mercy, like for real, and to receive mercy from God. And from his story, I want to just show you three things today that we can find throughout his story of how to really call out to Jesus to have mercy. And the first one is this, we just simply need to cry out. Cry out. If you're taking notes, writing some things down, just write this down, maybe in your journal. Write that down this morning. Just the first thing that we learned from Bartimaeus is not to be timid, not to be afraid, not to be ashamed. Just simply, if you need God's mercy in your life in any way this morning, the first thing you need to do is just to cry out. The truth is that sometimes in life, we find ourselves in very desperate situations similar to Bartimaeus. Situations that we can't fix. Situations that we can't get ourselves out of. Situations in which, and some of us even this morning, we're in situations where we are desperately in need of a miracle. And what we have to do in these moments is simply cry out for God's mercy. Bartimaeus is in a desperate situation here. It's a situation that he can't do anything about. He was blind. He needed a miracle. So what's he do? He cries out to Jesus. He asks Jesus for mercy. And I want you to notice, he doesn't just ask, he did so passionately. He wasn't content with just going on as things were. In fact, later the text says that he throws his cloak aside, the jacket that he's wearing. And commentators say that that cloak might have been being used to collect alms. He's begging. But he decides that day that he's no longer content with just going on and collecting money, but still being blind. And so he cries out for God to grant him mercy. And I think some of us have become content with something less than what God has for us. Maybe you think that you don't deserve any better. Maybe you're thinking this morning that you got yourself into this predicament, and so now you got to get yourself out of it. Anybody ever felt that way, right? We have voices in our head telling us that we're the ones that are responsible for extricating ourselves from difficult situations. Or maybe you have thoughts in your head that say, well, things could be worse. I know I'm blind, but at least I'm able to walk. At least I'm able to go out. This is what Bartimaeus could have been thinking. Well, at least I'm able to get out into the streets and beg for money. Or maybe some of you this morning, you're hesitant to cry out today because there's voices of guilt and shame that are keeping you from crying out. Voices that are telling you that you just need to be happy with your lot in life. You just need to live out your life accepting the pain, accepting the promise, or accepting the problem. I want to challenge you today to get a hold of the spirit of Bartimaeus and to cry out. You may have heard last year there was a story in Simi Valley. In fact, it was very viral. It was about an 87-year-old man who had fell into an abandoned well. And he had been mowing his lawn, and he fell 25 feet into the hole that had previously been covered. And there was a woman who had an appointment in the area, and she kept hearing a noise. And eventually she realized that it was someone that was yelling, "Help! Help! Somebody help me!" And so she followed the voice. And if you remember the story, she found the man, and eventually he was rescued. So it was this 87-year-old man, 25 feet down in the ground. There was nothing this guy could have done to extricate himself from the situation. He recognized the fact, and he just began to cry out for help. I don't know how long he cried out that day, but he was crying out. It wasn't timidly. In fact, he cried out so loud that this lady heard him, and she came to his rescue. And this is what we need to be like. We need to be like this man. We need to be like Bartimaeus in that we need to realize that sometimes we're in desperate situations. Some of us, even this morning, you're hearing this morning, and you know that you're in a desperate situation, the kind that's beyond your ability to handle on your own. This is how we find ourselves. Sometimes we're in situations where only God can help. David said it like this in Psalm chapter 62. He said, only God. He found himself in one of these situations. He said, only God can save me. I feel like this morning I'm speaking to somebody, or maybe you're watching this Saturday night. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody right now that find yourself in a situation similar to Bartimaeus, similar to that man that was trapped in a well, similar to David, where only God can save us. Sometimes we're in situations where only God can save us. Maybe this morning it's a medical situation, like with Bartimaeus. Maybe we're trapped like the man who fell in the well. Maybe this morning you feel trapped in a job. Maybe this morning you're feeling trapped in an unhealthy pattern in your life. Maybe it's a financial situation where something happens. We have no idea how we're going to make ends meet this month. Maybe you're in a relationship situation where we have a relationship that's broken. I want you to know that when we realize that we're in a desperate situation, we can't be content to stay there any longer. We need to cry out, Lord, have mercy. I want to challenge you, if that's you this morning, I want to challenge you to bring that situation to God, to cry out, to ask for God's help. And so if you find yourself, even right now, if that's a situation you find yourself, would you do that with me? Would you just say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you know the predicament I'm in. You know what I'm up against. You know the odds are stacked against me. You know I need nothing less than a miracle. Would you just have mercy? Have mercy. So number one, what we learn from Bartimaeus is to cry out. Number two, and this is so important when it comes to receiving God's mercy. Number two, write this down, is you have to quiet the doubt. You have to quiet. The second thing that we learn from Bartimaeus is that we need a quiet doubt. Before, just like after we cry out, we need to quiet doubt. And if you notice in the text tells us that when Bartimaeus begins to cry out, that there were some people who tried to silence him. It says in verse 48 that many, they went as far as to rebuke him. And they're telling him to be quiet. You're causing too much commotion. You're making a distraction. You're taking the focus off of Jesus. Would you just be quiet? And I love the way that Bartimaeus responds to the voices of these people. The scripture says, but he shouted out all the more, Son of David, have mercy. My imagination tells me that at this point, he's not just like trying to get Jesus' attention. Like now he's screaming. Now he's got to speak above all the voices that are trying to quiet him. I'm telling you this morning, before and while we're crying out, sometimes doubt will try to silence you. Doubt will say to you that God doesn't hear you. Doubt says God doesn't care about your situation. Doubt says God can't help you. And just listen to me. The moment you start to cry out for God's help, this is the voices that you're going to have to battle in your mind. But Bartimaeus didn't let the people quiet him. Instead, he quieted them. He shouted all the more, it says. And so we can't allow our doubt to keep us from crying out. We have to cry out over our doubt. Listen to me this morning. Don't let doubt quiet you. Why don't you turn the tables and you quiet the doubt? Some of you need to get some noise-canceling headphones, right? These have become increasingly popular today. I don't know if you have a pair of them, and they're amazing. They're amazing. They keep all of the noise out so that you can focus on whatever you are trying to do. If maybe you're watching something on your iPad or your phone, you got to get a pair of these noise-canceling headphones. They just quiet everything around. I mean, you can be in the most noisy place, right? And you put on those noise-canceling headphones and you just forget where you're at. Nobody can mess with what you're watching. Maybe you've been on a plane, right? You're traveling and someone's trying to talk to you. You just put on those noise-canceling headphones. Some of you maybe lately in your home, right? It's become so crazy and you found yourself a little spot. You put on those noise-canceling headphones. You didn't hear your kids screaming and arguing and fighting. They're amazing, right? They're very effective. And I was thinking about this. Some of us, we need to put our noise-canceling headphones on for our doubts and for people who sow doubts into us. Listen to me this morning. Our minds can be very noisy places. And a lot of the noise in our minds, it's negative. It's doubt. It's the things that keep us from crying out to God. It's the things that keep us from believing that God wants to help us when we cry out. There's some people in your lives, they feed your doubts instead of your faith. Can I be honest with you this morning? They need to be canceled. There's some thoughts that some of you are having, some negative thoughts, some doubtful thoughts. Listen to me this morning. Those need to be canceled. You need to cancel all the reasons. You need to cancel out all the excuses. You need to cancel out all the voices. You need to put those noise-canceling headphones on with me this morning. You need to quiet the doubt that's trying to keep you from quiet, from crying out. You need to quiet those voices that are trying to stop you from crying out in this desperate moment for the mercy of God. In fact, I want to challenge you right now. I want you to right now, would you do me a favor? Would you identify what the doubts are in your life right now that are silencing you from crying out about whatever your situation is? Maybe some of you this morning, you're doubting right now that God cares about you. You doubt that God is able, or maybe you're doubting that God is even willing to help you. I want you to remember who God is. I want you to remember what he's done in Jesus, that Christ proves definitively that God cares about your situation. Jesus proves that God is able. He's going to be able to do something about your situation. Like Bartimaeus this morning, we need to cry out all the more, even more loudly, even more expectantly for God's mercy. I want to encourage you this morning, cancel out all the doubt and allow faith the faith that right now God is sowing into your heart, even this morning, the Word of God, I believe that right now, the Word of God is sowing a seed of faith into your life. Don't allow the enemy to quiet your voice of faith. Instead, I want you today to quiet the doubt. So number one, we need to cry out, quiet the doubt. And then I love the persistency about Bartimaeus. And he teaches us, number three, if you're writing things down, write this down. And that is simply to ask again, to ask again. This is what finally what we learn from Bartimaeus, that we need to ask again. And sometimes we cry out for God's mercy, right? We figure out a way to silence the doubt. But there are times when nothing seems to happen with our situation right away. Some of you can attest to this with me. When you finally found the courage to cry out, you found a way to cancel out all the noise, but it just seemed like nothing was happening. That maybe God wasn't present, that maybe God didn't care. And in that moment, there's this temptation to grow cynical, to let our hope that things can be different begin to wane in our life. And that's the exact wrong thing to do. Instead of doing that, listen to me this morning, you need to ask again and again and again and again. And that's what Bartimaeus, I love this about Bartimaeus. That's what he did. He finds himself in this desperate situation. He cries out. He silences all the people that are trying to rebuke him. He silences the voice of doubt. And then he keeps on asking. The scripture says he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Notice he asked again. He didn't get discouraged that Jesus didn't answer his cry for mercy the first time. Come on, we do that sometimes. If God don't answer right away, if God don't provide the miracle right away, if provision doesn't show up immediately when we ask God, our faith starts to wane. We get discouraged. I want to encourage you today. You just need to ask again. Ask again. Shout a little bit louder. You ever done that when you're praying and you've been praying about something and God doesn't answer your prayer? I've done this before. And I don't know why I do it, but sometimes I just get a little more vehement. I start to talk a little bit about like, Jesus, like I need you. I'm desperate for you right now. Right? As if he couldn't hear me the first time. But there's this persistence. There's this desperation about Bartimaeus. And he's not going to let Jesus just pass him by. And so he's screaming out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He's persistent. He's persistent. He's like my children. If you have children, you know that when they want something, right, they don't generally just ask one time. You ever had your kids do that, right? They ask you for something and maybe you don't respond, or God forbid, you say no, right? They're not just like, "Oh, yeah, no problem, Dad," and they just walk away. No. Or at least not my kids. Some of you maybe got great kids. They're well-mannered. But no, not my kid. Drew and Megan, man, they try to wear me down. Like my kids wanted a dog. And I swore from like, I think when I was like 17 years old, I would never own. As I started thinking about the future, my family, I was like, I'm never owning an animal. And sure enough, Megan, my daughter, she started asking me for a dog. And I said no. I mean, my first response is easy. First time, like, right? No. She didn't just walk away and be like, "Okay, Dad, we'll just never have a dog." No. She persisted. She started to wear me down. She got her mom involved, and then she got Drew involved. Man, I mean, like, they were ganging up on me. And so then I finally said, "All right, here's the deal. We'll find a dog, but it's not going to be an inside dog. I'm never allowing a dog inside my house." Well, it's probably been about 6 years now that we've had that little Australian shepherd, Izzy, and she lives in our house. Why? Because they just ask me over and oftentimes they'll get what they want just because they're persistent. Can I tell you, the truth is, we're children of God. We don't need to just ask once. We need to keep asking. What is that situation in your life right now where maybe you've given up? Maybe you've just accepted that whatever the cards that life has dealt you, that's what you're going to live it, or whatever the report the doctor gave you, you've just accepted that, or the relationship that's broken in your life, you've just chosen to accept that it's going to be broken forever. Is there a situation right now in your life that you've just sat back, you've given up, and maybe you've just accepted it? Maybe you've asked God for his mercy to change a situation, but it seems like nothing's happened. And you're tempted right now, in this moment, you're tempted to walk away, to give up. I'm telling you, today, it's time to ask again. Bartimaeus, he didn't stop asking until he could see. Watch this. Finally, Jesus turns to him and he says, what do you want from me? Verse 51, Jesus asked him. And the blind man, Bartimaeus, says, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. And Jesus tells him, go, watch this. Your faith has healed you. And immediately, Bartimaeus receives his sight and he begins to follow Jesus along the road. I want to tell somebody this morning, don't stop asking until you start seeing. Come on. We shouldn't stop asking until we start seeing our situations change. Until we see that miracle, that medical miracle, that miracle that you need this morning, don't stop asking until you start seeing. Until we see our family get saved, don't stop asking until you start seeing. Until we see our relationships get restored, don't stop asking until you start seeing. Sometimes, listen to me this morning, sometimes our circumstances can blind us to what Jesus is able to do, what he is doing. And so we stop asking. Listen to me this morning. Don't stop asking until you start seeing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith, watch this, it is the evidence of things not seen. This is why Jesus tells Bartimaeus, go, your faith has made you whole. We know that, especially in Bartimaeus' situation, he's unable to see. He's unable to see. And some of you this morning, you're blinded to what God is able to do. But Bartimaeus, there was some faith that had grown inside of his heart. And faith allows us to see what Jesus can do and is doing in our life. And then it leads us to keep asking. That's why walking by faith means that we keep asking. I'm challenging somebody this morning. Don't stop asking until you start seeing. Until you see the goodness of God. Until you see the miracle working power of God in your life. Don't stop asking. Truth is this morning, we all find ourselves at some point in desperate situations that we can't find our way out of. Many of us are in the middle of situations like that right now. Right now, this morning, if you're honest. And in these moments, listen, we need to cry out, Lord, have mercy. It is so imperative right now in this moment, even as I'm speaking to you, and the word of God right now is beginning to bring out faith in your life. It's important. It's imperative that you silence the doubt. The enemy is going to try to play games in your mind. He's going to try to silence you. He's going to try to silence your voice. I want you to turn the tables right now. I want you to silence your doubt. And I'm asking you to ask again. And again, come on, right now, wherever you're at, wherever you're watching this morning, I know maybe you gave up. Maybe you stopped asking God. Would you with me have the courage this morning to ask again and again and again until we see a miracle from God? Until we see a miracle from God. This is what the gospel shows us. This is the good news of Jesus, that God is willing and able to help us in our most desperate situations, that we can cry out with confidence this morning, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. That's simple. Whatever you need right now in this moment from God, whatever situation that you're facing that's beyond your control, it's beyond your resources, beyond your wisdom, beyond your capacity, beyond your strength, would you have the faith together with me this morning to simply say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. This is what I know, is that God is so moved with compassion as we echo those words, that wherever you're at this morning, I'm believing right now in this moment that we're going to experience a miracle. Would you just pray that with me this morning? If you would be honest with me this morning, you find yourself in one of these difficult situations, would you pray that with me this morning? Come on, let's pray this together. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. I need your healing. I need your provision. I need your wisdom. I need strength this morning. Lord, have mercy. Father, I'm asking you right now in this moment, this critical moment for some of us in our lives today, I'm asking you to respond like you did with Bartimaeus. I'm praying that our faith would capture your attention right now in this moment. And I'm asking right now that miracles would take place this morning. in our living rooms, in those hospital rooms, wherever we find ourselves in this morning, that right now, God, you would do miracles. I pray you would say to those situations, go, go. Your faith has made you whole. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't you thankful for the mercy of God? I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, if you've never said, Lord, have mercy on me for the sins that I've forgiven, that I've done in my life, and never asked God for his forgiveness, I want to give you that chance right now to ask Jesus into your heart. It's so simple. It really is just, it could be these three words, Lord, have mercy. Would you pray that prayer with me today? If that's you, would you pray that prayer with me today? Would you just simply say, Lord, I know I've done things that are wrong, that are sinful, that are against your will for my life. And today I'm asking you to have mercy, to forgive me of my sins. Today I'm accepting you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Would you pray that prayer? If you've just prayed that prayer with me today, I believe that right now that you have just been saved. And so we want to celebrate with you this morning. In fact, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, would you just text that number on your screen this morning and just text, I said yes. And so that we can come along with you on this new journey that you're starting out with in your relationship with Jesus. We want to partner with you as we make sure with everything possible within us that you reach everything, the potential that God has for your life. I want to say once again, thank you for joining us at Red Chapel this morning. I pray today that miracles are happening in your life, and I'm going to believe together with you. Come on, let's bring our faith together. The scripture says where two or three are gathered together in my name, that I'll be there. I want to bind together in faith with you right now for whatever you need. In fact, if we can pray together with you right now, would you text that number on your screen? Let us know how we can pray together with you as we believe together for the mercy of God in our situations. Once again, I want to tell you, Red Chapel family, we love you. Sonia and I miss you so much. We can't wait till we're back together in person. But in the meantime, we just pray that God would be with you, that you would have an amazing week. God bless you, and we'll see you next weekend.